Well, good morning and welcome back to Financing Your Future. This is John Schaaf, Senior Vice President, Investments of the Raymond James & Associate Group of the Schaaf Tally Group of Raymond James & Associate. I'm a little dyslexic this morning, but anyway, welcome back. It's good to have you back. I certainly hope that you had a good week this week and have been able to get out and enjoy the weather. My goodness, if fall weather is upon us, and it's just a wonderful time of the year. I always enjoy this time of the year because of the change of the seasons, when you start having cooler mornings and get to wear a little bit of maybe a light jacket in the afternoons or early mornings coming to the office. And it's just a great time to look at the leaves. Now, this year, I'm afraid we may not have that good a color, as dry as it's been, but we'll have to wait and see how that turns out. But I'm not ready for winter, so let's just kind of take it, you know, one day at a time and relax and enjoy this time of the year. So again, I hope you are on your way to your house of worship, or maybe you've already been there this morning, and again, you've had a good time with the Lord. It is the Lord's Day, and it's also a good time to be with your family and enjoy the time of the afternoon. I mean, we'll probably have something special this afternoon because I've got some family in with us, so we'll be having some time together eating, which is why I'm a little bigger this year than I should be. But I do like to eat. That's one of my weaknesses, I guess you could say. And I like to cook, so that kind of goes hand in hand. I think the Amish say you can't trust a skinny cook, so I fall right in that category, so I must be a pretty good cook. Anyway, I'm just horsing with you this morning. But again, it's good to have you back. And let me remind you that our address is 200 Bellevue Parkway, and that's suite 425, and we're in Wilmington, Delaware, here at 19809. And of course, that is a beautiful park that we're in, and you know, if you've ever been over there, that it's got a great view of the river, and actually we can see New Jersey certain times of the year when the leaves are falling. But it is also a rough place to come into right now because of the conditions the roads are in. So hopefully they'll be done with some of that construction pretty soon, because it's all over the place. You find it on Shipley Road, Carr Road. You find it on 95 right there at that exit, at Marsh Road exit. You've got it right there in our complex. So hopefully all this will be finished soon before the winter sets in, where it'll be nice and smooth for the winter. And again, let me remind you of our phone number, which is 302-798-9113. Or if you're out of the area, it's 800-225-8043. And I know all you techies out there want to know our webpage and our Facebook page. So again, let me remind you of our webpage, which is www.schaaftally.com. So it's www.schaaftally.com. And go there and check that out. Joe puts a lot of good stuff on that. We're still playing with putting fresh photos on there, but it's a little more complicated for us. But we'll probably put a couple of updated photos on here pretty soon again. And we also want to remind you of our Facebook page, where I am, you know, I'm still trying to put some stuff on that within reason. And I still might do something coming up with a photo or two on that. And if you like us, of course, you know you want a thumbs up. And again, I keep underestimating how many folks actually use Facebook. So it's a big source of news today. And a lot of folks, I think it's the number one news source in the country, even more than, you know, the regular programs. But anyway, we're going to try to keep some things up to date on there. And if you do like us, you know, I guess it's the thumbs up and let us know. Okay. So again, before I get started this morning, I do want to remind you of a couple little things. There's the Urban Promise Banquet this coming the 24th of this month. And those of you who know me know I'm on the board of that organization. And it is a great organization that I'm proud to be a part of. It's a privilege, actually, to be a part of them. They do such great work here in the city. And if you have an opportunity, I'd encourage you to go to the webpage, which is urbanpromise.org. And sign up to come to the banquet. It's a great time to hear about the ministry from the ground up, and it's a good time, great time to get involved with that ministry. So again, I just want to put out a little plug for those folks, because they do such good work, and I'm just glad to be a part of them. The other thing I want to remind us of is the Eagles won last week, amazingly, which is good. And they're on the way to play Minnesota. So I don't know, but we got to keep them going because Minnesota is not an easy team to beat. But if we're going to go all the way this year, we need to keep moving forward. Got to get those boys on fire, right? So let's go, Eagles, go, right? So now let's get back into the program this morning. I wanted to know if maybe had you had a chance to think about what we talked about last week. We talked about this material that came from the MIT Age Lab from Hartford Funds, and we were talking about what's his name here, Dr. Coughlin, I believe is his name. Yeah, Joseph Coughlin. He's a director of the Massachusetts Institute of Technology Age Lab. And his research examines how the disruptive demographics of an aging society, social trends, and technology will shape future innovations in business and government. Dr. Coughlin also teaches at MIT's Department of Urban Studies and Planning, as well as Sloan School of Management, Advanced Management Program. Coughlin is frequently interviewed by The Economist magazine, as well as the Financial Times, The New York Times, The Wall Street Journal, Straight Times, and other business and technology publications. So did you think about that, what we were talking about last week, about the 8,000 days? I don't know, but you might want to consider that again. And as I was thinking about the first 8,000 days, I know my first 8,000 days went by in a blink. The second 8,000 days have gone by in two blinks. And the next 8,000 days seem like they're coming along mighty quick. That's a good thing, right? It means I'm enjoying life. Well, let's start back here. We were talking about the four phases. We had the four phases of your life. And those phases were, and I'm going to get them up here real quick, the honeymoon phase, the big decision phase, the navigating longevity phase, and the solo journey phase. So those are the three phases. So we talked about the honeymoon phase, which is the first 8,000. I'm sorry, you know what? I may back up. Those are the four phases of your retirement phases. The original phase here we started talking about, and if I can even find these things today, I got too many papers. That's all there is to it. So there's the big decision phase. There's the navigating longevity phase. And again, well, I was right. It was a honeymoon phase. I got too many things here. So we're going to start back and finish up with the big decision phase this morning, which is the second phase of retirement, and it's best characterized with more, what we call more free time. But it's often understated that it's a key time for making big decisions. It takes shape as work truly fades from view. So we're going to begin from there. We finish up from talking about where do you go. You know, individuals and couples are confronted in the second retirement phase by tactical questions such as, now that we are fully retired, should we buy a new car? You know, for transportation and, of course, personal reward. And should we stay in our hometown or move somewhere warmer? Maybe Florida, Arizona, Utah. Will life be easier if we downsize? A lot of folks that we talk to, that's a big question. You know, do we want to downsize? Of course, can we afford our current lifestyle for the long term? And that's where we run cash flow analysis for folks to help them to have at least a basic understanding of how their cash flow is going to flow, not only today, but also in the future. And of course, if you want to have us run some of these analysis for you, or even a complimentary review, or even some estate planning, you can give us a call, give Susan or Joe or one of us a call at 302-798-9113, or if you're out of the area, it's 800-225-8043. And before I forget, Raymond James is a member of the New York Stock Exchange and SIPC, and not all the views here are represented by the firm, by Raymond James. They are by John Schaff, so just want to let you know that the views here are mine. Okay, so let's go on and talk a little bit more and finish up with the big decision phase. You know, as empty nesters, a lot of times folks that are at this stage of life are empty nesters, and so they begin to look at downsizing. So about 37% of baby boomers plan to downsize or to move from their current home. Maybe not much, but sometimes those downsize places are very nice, so it's not like they're giving up some of their amenities. For many, concerns about the cost of home maintenance, you know, that's one of the concerns. How to keep up the home, you know, how close to the family. That's a big issue for folks that get to this stage of their life, is do we want to get closer to the family or to the grandchildren? In many cases, we see folks that move that way. And, of course, the livability of their existing home, you know, such as having a master bedroom on the first floor, you know, or other necessities on the first floor. Like, for instance, our home, we don't have a master suite on the first floor, so we still have to navigate those stairs. And whenever we have some folks like Jan's mom or my dad at the house, it's difficult for them to navigate our stairs. So that's a real fact of life. So those are enough reasons that folks, you know, pick up and leave that particular house, maybe the town or even the state. So when we talk about other things that you're impacted during this phase, you talk about changing income sources. Retirees in the second retirement phase are drawing a greater share of their income from different sources, such as Social Security, which is like 92%, a pension, 53%, and an IRA, Roth IRA. Those are the top three sources for pre-retirement and expectations of living or living in income. Interesting enough, pension is only 53% of the folks have pensions. And we're seeing more and more folks are having to draw from the Social Security, but from their own assets, IRAs and Roths and things like that. And again, that's why, you know, running cash flow analysis is so important, because it gives you a peace of mind about, it doesn't close all the all the doors or fears that you may have, but at least it gives you a baseline where you can look at and see how our income is going to do, and not only for this year, but in 5 years or 10 years or 20 years, however the Lord leads. So financial decisions such as whether assets from savings should be converted to annuities or whether investing in insurance is worthwhile and so forth become, you know, those are the kind of questions become time sensitive, as does the need to create an estate plan. Again, some of these decisions that you make about how to invest monies is time sensitive based on, again, your age and risk tolerances and so forth. So now we're going to move into the third phase. The third phase is called the navigating longevity phase. And again, before I forget, if you'd like a copy of this, just let me know, or let Joe or Susan know, and they'll be glad to get one for you. So you can give us a call and they'll send one. So it's 302-798-9113. And I keep forgetting to mention that, because I have folks that do call and ask for copies of these things, and we're more than happy to send them out. As long as we're allowed to, we will send them out to you. So let's talk about the third phase. Navigating longevity phase. Longer, you know, people are living longer. I think one of the comments I saw recently, we finally have accomplished, I think it was Dr. Coughlin that said, we've finally accomplished something that folks have been trying to do for years down through history, and that's we're trying to live longer. So now that we're living longer, the next problem is, what are we going to do with that extra time? So in the third retirement phase, the logistics of health management may become a full-time job. You know, with increased medical appointments, medication management, and increased mobility changes. Spending per capita on health care increases steeply after age 65. And I do know these medical appointments do increase. I think it's just part of getting more mature, as I say. You have many more doctor appointments. So a bitter pill to swallow. It's estimated that 92% of older adults are managing at least one chronic condition, and 77% are managing the complexities of two or more chronic conditions. Now, chronic conditions can be, you know, can make handling other health issues more difficult, or make health in general more complex, and thus will more likely be mismanaged. So let me give you an example. Now, for example, what may seem like a straightforward routine medication adherence becomes a key and challenging aspect of managing health. A look at the numbers shows how increased age leads to juggling more medications. 3 out of 4 adults over the age 50 take one or more prescription medications on a regular basis. In fact, 86% of those age 65 and older regularly take prescription drugs, with 53% taking 4 or more on a regular basis. Now, I know that can be a difficult thing to manage for folks as they get more mature, because I know as these are required medications, have to be taken at a certain time or have to be taken on a daily or every other day basis. It can be pretty confusing, and it can be sometimes the impact can be worse if you don't do if you don't take it with regularity. We went through this with my father-in-law, and it was we tried multiple ways to even automate the distribution of those medications on a daily basis. But if you don't push the button, or it doesn't pop out, you don't remember, or if you don't go buy that machine, I mean, there's a lot of different things that can cause some problems there. So the next part here we'll talk about is I'll be there for you. So due to changes in health, individually or as a couple, social well-being may change. Fewer opportunities to join friends and family may be available. It gets harder to get to meet the folks. Sometimes it's harder to get out. Weather, nighttime, a lot of folks don't like to drive at night. So you have less social impact here. Additionally, friends in the same age cohort managing their own health-related issues make maintaining connections a greater challenge. And that is so true. I see it. I got to tell you, I see it too much, where folks that are used to the social component of visiting with family and friends no longer are able to for medical reasons or health reasons. So complexity also rises in the need for suitable housing and occasional or daily assistance from a friend or a family member to help run routine errands and maintain the home. While many legal affairs haven't yet come into play, an example would be a healthcare proxy or a power of attorney, this phase of retirement often highlights the growing importance to have these legal contingencies established so that they're available when necessary. And that's something that we are constantly reminding clients to have those documents in place so that in the event there is a medical issue, we can communicate with people that we're allowed to with the documents they give us. If we don't have the documents, we cannot communicate with folks. We can't give any information out. The privacy regs are pretty tough on that. So we're forced to have to wait until we get those documents before we can share any information at all. And again, these are things that we remind you of. I know Tom's reminded you of it over the years when he was doing this program, that you must get your wills, your estate plans in order. You never know when the good Lord's going to call you, or you have an accident, or you don't have the ability to act by yourself and you need somebody to step up to the plate. If you don't have your documents in place, nobody, even the banks, nobody can help you. You have to have that durable power of attorney in effect, or healthcare proxy, whatever the case may be. So in such cases, trusted people are selected to make decisions on one's behalf, and it's in one's best interest to put these plans in place while your cognitive and physical functions are adequate and desires can be communicated clearly. I can't say that strong enough. You need to make decisions like this while you're quite capable of doing it, not expecting anything bad to happen, but just being smart about it and doing the things that need to be done so that you can have these documents in place just in case. Again, I'm not a pessimist. You know me. Anybody knows me knows I'm not a pessimist, but it's prudent. It's the prudent thing to do. And you owe it. It's your responsibility, because it plays havoc with your family if you do not have these things in place. Now let's go to the fourth phase, the solo journey phase. Now, those of you who are Star Wars fans think of Han Solo, but that's not what this is about. Unfortunately, this is a serious topic. This is the fourth retirement phase. This is when health or physical issues can quickly and abruptly come to the forefront. A single catastrophic event, such as a fall or a stroke, can immediately change needs and lifestyle. Serious illness or disability of a spouse will greatly impact the well-being and the safety of the household. And that's really, this is the time of life that it gets, this, things get very difficult. Health events or illness dictate the need for a caregiver. Help on an occasional or a daily basis to run errands, provide transportation, or help with other activities of daily living. Maybe you've heard of these ADLs, as they're called, and they're instrumental activities of daily living. Now, that's a new one for me. But your ADLs, which were your activities of daily living, which you don't even think about when you do, getting dressed, for instance, during the day, you don't think about it. You just get dressed, right? Or going to the bathroom. You just go to the bathroom. Getting in and out of bed, transitioning from bed to chair or wherever the case may be, things like that. Eating. These are things that we just take for granted. Well, as we get more mature, as I say, some of these things become more and more difficult. And again, as I've told you in the past, my dad's 91. He still bowls, believe it or not, which is incredible. And he plays golf, but he has difficulty transitioning from sitting to standing up. It's little simple things like that. And even getting dressed is difficult sometimes. So my sister helps him she takes care of a lot of those things. So going the distance, women typically outlive men. So that's not just in this report, that's in other reports that we've seen for years. Now, there is a closing of that gap, which is not, I'm not saying that's good. That's actually sad, but women typically do outlive men. So they may need to take additional steps to ensure adequate resources and manage risk. Consider this. Women compromise 69% of the 12.1 million older Americans living alone. Let me read that again. Women comprise 69% of the 12.1 million older Americans living alone. One-person households are likely to make issues that were once simple, a burden. Consequently, rethinking living arrangements may be necessary. So an example would be considering moving in with a family member or into an assisted living or long-term care facility. And as I've said before in this program, we've recently had my mother-in-law move in with us. So we are trying to help her in, at this stage of her life, a helping hand. The fourth retirement phase may result in conflict between family members. For example, disagreements may surface between older adults and their adult children because a well-meaning son or daughter is concerned about the safety of their parents driving or even their capacity to live alone. And I'm sure many of you have gone through this with your family members or your parents and having to take the car away, or that's not the right way to say that, but they no longer drive, so the car becomes no longer needed, or how to get rid of the car, or all the other issues that go along with no longer having them drive. But then again, when that driving is no longer available, well, guess what? Then somebody has to drive them to the doctor's appointments, to their haircuts, to the grocery stores, if they're still living alone. So again, you know, for this reason, clear intentions and plans previously put in place, such as power of attorney, healthcare proxies, and more broadly, one's preferences for care can help make this period run smoothly and comfortably. This can also decrease the burden placed on adult children who would otherwise feel compelled to make decisions for and sometimes against the will of their parents. And I know that from the past that can be a difficult, there's some difficult decisions that have to be made there too. So it looks like I am just about out of time here. I'd like to again say thank you to Jay Nice for helping me get through this program again today. And before I leave, I'd like to leave you with this thought. A day wasted on others is not wasted on one's self. Think about that. That's Charles Dickens. So until we meet again, this has been John Schaaf for Financing Your Future.